Good evening. Have you ever had something that you just absolutely dread? You're dreading it, but you had to do it? I'm not talking about tonight, me speaking. I'm looking forward to that, but I want to tell you about a day, Tuesday this week. I am still learning the ropes of some criminal law. I do that on the side of the business practice, but I really enjoy that. Tuesday morning, I had 7 cases in between 2 courthouses. If you don't know anything about Greensboro or Guilford County, we have 2 courthouses that function as one. We have Greensboro and High Point. So I had 7 cases between those two, and of one of those, I was appointed to represent a client on a DWI, a driving while impaired. That means he was arrested for driving his vehicle while he had, was under the influence of alcohol. So out of those 7 cases, I was already dreading all of them. How am I going to get all this done? And then of that one, he had 11 charges that were on for scheduling. And boy, have I pushed that case off. I got assigned that case back in February of last year. And it was like, well, we can just push it on to the next month. We can push it on to the next month. Finally, a judge called on and said, you know what, this is your last chance. So Tuesday, on the most busy day I've ever had, it came down that I had to have this DWI either plea or trial because it wasn't going to get dismissed. There's just too much evidence. So the charges were, I'm not reading these out to make me seem like a big-time lawyer, because I'm not. Trust me, ask my brother-in-law. I'll stop anybody in the court and ask him what to do. So, but this guy was charged with a DWI, injury to real property, meaning he ran into a tree in a house, injury to personal property, driving with license revoked, driving without due caution, failure to stop when approached by a police officer with their lights on, failure to stop at a stop sign, failing to drive on the right side of the road, failing to stop at a flashing red light, injury to personal property, again, he hit a mailbox, and injury to another mailbox that he hit. So out of all those charges, that's what they are. Out of all those cases, I have this one guy with 11 charges, and I'm just thinking, you know, I told my wife that night, I was like, this guy's going to jail. I do not want to go to court tomorrow. This is going to be so bad. I was doing anything to go to bed that night. I was standing up, I was like, oh, you want to watch another TV show or something? You want to talk or something? She goes, we need to go to bed. So I go to bed, and I toss and turn, and I'm going out the door the next morning. My wife says, you know what? I love you, and I'm praying for you. And it was the most encouraging thing I've ever heard. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that we can come to you, that my wife can pray for me, Father, for my busy day, and that I know that you'll hear her, Father. Thank you that you love us. Father, just please be with me as I open your word right now. If I say anything that is of you, please just help it to be wiped from these people's minds, Father. But just let the Holy Spirit rule tonight. We just want your name to be glorified in everything, Father. We pray all this according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to be speaking about being encouraging tonight. And I'm sorry, you know who I am. You know who my dad is. You know who my Uncle Bill is. And I'm friends with Jason. So if I've learned one thing in my first 8 months of marriage, it's that it's easy to be negative. And you're always going to find a reason to be negative. But it's so much better to be positive. I've been really trying to be encouraging in my life lately. And it's not something that's easy to do, but it's so much more beneficial. And oftentimes, it is just as easy to be encouraging as it is negative, but you just don't see that as the first option. My wife, as you know, has some autoimmune issues, and so she has to eat all the time. If you look at her, you would never believe that she eats more food than me, but she does. So in the middle of the night, about every night, Nicholas can testify to this, because sometimes in Dane as well, if we're talking to each other over a game or something, they can hear the blender going in the background. Sherry is always blending some food. So in the middle of the night, she has to get up around 4 or 3 in the morning. Depends on when I wake her up in the night when I roll over. So she has to get up and go blend food in the middle of the night downstairs in the cold, dark kitchen. And I know she's scared to go down there every night. And I know she doesn't want to do it. And it would be so easy for me to just be like, oh, please shut the door. I do not want to hear that blender one more time. But I'm really trying to say, honey, keep the door open. I want to know that you made it in safe. I want to be able to hear you safe down there. That's not because I'm a great encourager. It's because the Lord's been working on my heart to be more encouraging to my wife and to empathize with her and to share in her struggle. And why am I trying to be more encouraging with my life? Why am I trying to be more positive? Because the Bible tells me to. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Everybody knows the song. Mark and I sang it with some kids last night. We even made a little rap to it. It was terrible. In fact, the word tells us to encourage each other daily. It says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And that's Hebrews 3:13. Discouragement is not an uncommon thing. How many times have you guys turned on the news and just been discouraged? How many times have you gotten something in the mail? Maybe it's a bill you're not expecting. How many times have you got a phone call or just something didn't go the way you wanted it at work? It's so easy to be discouraged. But we should always try to be encouraging and to be encouraged ourselves in the Lord. So the Bible tells me to be more encouraging. And that was from the verse I mentioned earlier in Thessalonians. Why else do I want to be encouraging? Because it's good to do it. It feels good. It's beneficial. It's beneficial to be encouraging. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. God's word is full of encouragement. How many times have I been discouraged in my life and I just turn to God's word and I can just go to that word that has never let me down? It's so wonderful to be able to read the words God's have written just for me. I know He wants me to read them. And they're right there and I can just read them. And when life is getting tough, and life gets tough, everybody knows that. God's word is always there. Why else am I trying to be more encouraging? It's what Jesus did. There's that phrase, what would Jesus do? I've kind of got an issue with that now, because if you look in the Bible, you can see what Jesus did. And there's almost a situation for everything that Jesus did. And Jesus was always encouraging. In fact, there's one verse where Jesus is telling his followers about the trouble they're going to have. And immediately after that, in the very next sentence, he encourages them. And that's in John 16:33. Jesus told his followers, in this world you will have trouble. That doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? What if I said, hey, Nick, you're going to have trouble at work today. See ya. That'd be pretty discouraging. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah that Jesus did. So what are some practical ways you can encourage someone? You can pray with them and for them. We know that's what Paul the Apostle did. That's what my wife did for me. And when I was standing there before the judge, I knew that my wife was praying for me. And it wasn't the smoothest trial, wasn't the smoothest plea, but it worked out, and I knew that the Lord was with me. You can encourage them with the word. Everybody here heard of social media or text messaging? It's so easy to get the word of God out there today. It's so easy to post a Bible verse. It's so easy to comment on a Bible verse or comment on somebody's Facebook post or blog. I know that Carter Bowman blogs a lot, and it's very encouraging to read about a younger woman in the Lord with that heart for the Lord, and it's very encouraging to read that. So keep that up, Carter. What else can you do? You can pray for them. You can encourage them with the word. You can spend time with them. We know that Paul had a heart to go visit the places that he was already been to encourage those believers there. It's very important to spend time with other believers, with other people. One of the biggest investments in someone you can make is your own time. You can give them cards, you can give them money, you can give them text messages, but what really, really counts is time. Investing time with someone is so encouraging. I know in times of my life, Mark and Kim have been there, and it was really encouraging to have them there. And I'm sure each of you can think about another situation in life where there's been another believer there to encourage you. And they're not the only ones that have encouraged me. There's so many of you here that have. What else can you do? You can pray with them. You can encourage them with the word. You can spend time with them. You can give to them money, your skills, your possessions. What do you have that you can help them with? Maybe you can go do their leaves for them. Maybe you have a leaf blower. I have a truck. I don't like to move things, but if somebody needs to move things, I can encourage them, hey, you can come to me. I'm always there for you. You're not alone. You can open up your home to them. This kind of goes along with time, but it's a little bit different. Acts 4:36-37 describes the acts of Barnabas and this one little action that he did. So in Acts 4:36, it says, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Don't you think those apostles were encouraged that he would go sell this possession, this property that he had? That was a pretty serious thing back then to own property. That's a pretty high status. And he sold that symbol of status and laid it at the feet of the disciples. That is, and literally his name means encouragement. So maybe you don't have something you can give. Maybe you don't have money or a truck or property to sell. But you can always give them a good word. The word encourage means to exhort, come alongside of, or comfort, according to the dictionary. Many a times I've stood up in the Lord's Supper, and after a brother has come up to me and really said, I appreciate what you shared this morning. And that has encouraged me to keep standing up. Not for my glory, but for the Lord's. But I may have a thought that I'm too scared to stand up and share, but those words of encouragement have helped give me the strength to stand up and share things in the Lord that maybe my words have encouraged others. So it's a multiplying factor right there, you see? So maybe somebody's struggling with something in life and you saw it on their Facebook post or their Instagram, or you know it. In what ways could you go and encourage them? Like it says in Proverbs, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I know I've already read that verse, but I love it. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. All right, Mark and I did this last night with some kids on the bus, and they did a pretty good job at it, so I think I'm going to steal his idea. I'm going to make you guys do some work. You got to look to the person next to you, and I want you to say one encouraging thing to them. And you have 1 minute to do this, so you better get thinking. It's encouraging to see all the encouragement going on. So we've talked about the ways that you can actively encourage someone, and there's so many more ways in there. Just read Acts. Read the words. Read what Jesus did. Read his actions, how he treated people that the Pharisees called sinners. Everybody's a sinner. And read those. He was so encouraging to people. The word is full of instances of encouragement. But there's also some ways that you can encourage people by not doing things. Many a times when I'm speaking to some kids, I'm going to misquote a verse because I'm trying to do it from my memory, and I'm not that great. I remember one time, and it's also one of my favorite verses, and I said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And Mark Shelley came, and he waited till all the kids were gone, and he came up to me, and he said, you kept saying light. I think the real word is life. He knew what the real word is, but he said, I think. And so it was just a very encouraging way that he corrected me. So you can encourage someone by how you handle a situation of reproof and not being overly critical. And if you don't have to do it in the open, if the Bible doesn't call for the open discipline there, maybe it's better to do it in private. So you can encourage somebody by taking them aside and doing it that way in a loving way. It's also important to remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That sounds pretty intimidating, but guess what? The battle's already won. Christ won that battle on the cross, and he won it 3 days later when he rose again. So how can you encourage someone in the Lord this week? Husbands, how can you encourage your wives? Wives, how can you encourage your husbands? Children, how can you encourage your parents or your siblings? Brothers and sisters in Christ, how can you encourage each other in the ministry? I want you to think about those things, and I'm going to continue to do that this year as well. He who calls us is faithful, and he gives us power to be faithful too. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Hallelujah, he has overcome the world. Jesus lives, and he's seated next to the Father. And I just want to leave you with that encouraging thought that our Savior lives. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son seated at your right hand, Father, that was faithful to come to this earth, Father, and to love a sinner like me, to die a death on the cross, Father, and to shed his precious and holy blood for me, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you that he has overcome the world, Father, and that you saw fit to put everything in his hand and under his control, Father. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Father, that you didn't just save us and send us out into this world alone, but you have given us the great helper, Father. Thank you for your provision in our lives, Father. Thank you for the eternal hope that we have, that we can spend eternity with you, Father, and that the cares of this world, the sickness, the pain, Father, will go away, and that we can be with you in eternity forever. Just worshiping and praising you, Father. Thank you for the promise that your Son is coming again. We thank you so much for all the encouragement you give us in your word. Thank you for other believers that encourage us, Father. We love you so much, and we love this beautiful picture that you have just painted in your word of how we should act, Father. Just please help us as we strive to meet what you want us to do. We pray all this according to your name, and in Jesus' name, amen.